We read from God's Word this morning as we find it recorded in Genesis 33. Genesis 33. The 32nd chapter ends with the record of Jacob wrestling with God all night. And then being blessed by God, he himself says and calls the name of it Peniel, which means the face of God. Verse 30 of 32 says, I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And remember that God there changed his name. Thou shalt no more be called Jacob, but Israel, which means Prince of God. Verse 28, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Now, chapter 33. Our text is found in the 11th verse. And Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And he lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, who are those with thee? And he said, the children which God hath graciously given thy servant. Then the handmaidens came near, they and their children, and they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves. And after came Joseph and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And he said, what meanest thou by all this drove which I met? And he said, these are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. And Jacob said, nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. Take, I pray thee, my blessing that is brought to thee, because God hath dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. And he urged him, and he took it. And he said, let us take our journey, and let us go, and I will go before thee. And he said unto him, my Lord knoweth that the children are tender, and the flocks and herds with young are with me. And if men should overdrive them one day, all the flock will die. Let my Lord, I pray thee, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on softly, according as the cattle that goeth before me, and the children be able to endure, until I come unto my Lord, unto Seir. And Esau said, let me now leave with thee some of the folk that are with me. And he said, what needeth it? Let me find grace in the sight of my Lord. So Esau returned that day on his way unto Seir. And Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built him an house and made booths for his cattle. Therefore the name of that place is called Succoth. That means booths. And Jacob came to Shalem, a city in Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Paddan Aram, and pitched his tent before the city. And he bought a parcel of a field where he had spread his tent at the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of silver. And he erected there an altar and called it El Eloah Israel. May God bless our reading of his word. El Elo Israel means God, the God of Israel. Jacob/Israel. That's his name now. And he recognizes that God is the God of Israel. He's referring to himself. Jacob/Israel said, God hath dealt graciously with me, and I have enough. What made him and led him to say that? When he was very, very young, his parents, and especially his mother, would frequently remind him of something that God had said to her about Jacob, even before they were born. Jacob, you are the younger, but God told me that the elder is going to serve the younger. Malachi chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 makes it very clear that that expression means, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Rebekah and Isaac knew that that's what the elder shall serve the younger meant. And Rebekah communicated that not infrequently to Jacob. You are special in God's eyes, Jacob. He loves you. It was a little bit later, after he had deceived his blind father Isaac, that Isaac gave a blessing to Jacob. A blessing that's recorded in verse 28, chapter 28. He was going to send Rebekah had incited Isaac to send Jacob away to Haran because they had heard what Esau had said he was intending to do. So Jacob is blessed by Isaac. The nature of the blessing, you find it recorded in verses 3 and 4 of chapter 28, is the blessing of the birthright. The blessing that the covenant is going to go in the line of Jacob. So, resonating in his mind is the knowledge, Jacob have I loved. He's the younger, but he's the one that's going to be served by the elder. And now he receives that blessing. Clearly, God's blessing. You are special, a special man and a special people. On his way, he comes to the place he calls Bethel, house of God, because there God appeared to him in that dream. He uses a rock as a pillow. He's without much earthly possessions, but he lies there and he sees this ladder and the angels ascending and descending. There's a relationship between God and him. John 1, the last verse, identifies that ladder as Jesus Christ. Jacob might not have understood all of the significance of that, but he knew that there was a special relationship between God and him. And he had heard Isaac give him the blessing. Now he has God communicate that blessing to him. Verses 12 through 15 and following of Genesis 28. After spending 20 years with Laban, God comes to him and calls him, chapter 31, verse 3, to leave his uncle Laban and return. And in verses 11 through 13 of chapter 31, he assures him of his blessing. He assures him, I will be with you and I will bless you. So he has over and over the Lord telling him and pointing out to him, I am your God. The relationship that I have established between myself and you is extremely special. You're unique to me. You're mine. I'm your shepherd. I'm your rock. I'm your high tower. I will take care of you. I will never leave you. Huh. It's the same things that we hear all the time. I am Jehovah, your God. If that wasn't enough, after he had that exchange with Laban, who came after him and then left, he got a special visit by angels. Chapter 32, verses 1 and 2. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when he saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. Again, an affirmation. God is telling him, Jacob, you are special. I love you. You are the recipients of my grace. And in spite of all of those messages that God communicated to him, we would say week after week and day after day, he's Jacob. Remember what Jacob means, children? Remember Jacob? Heel holder. So that it's his attitude. Yeah, God has said he's blessed me, but I'm going to make sure he does, and I'm going to provide the way for him to bless me. And I'm going to help God. That was his mindset. There's a calling and responsibility that God gives to us as those who are recipients of the covenant. Think of that third part of the baptism form, the principal part of doctrine of holy baptism. We have a calling, but we must not look at that calling as Jacob looked at it. He looked at that calling as if this is something that he had to earn. And by his work, God would make it happen. And if he didn't do the work, it wouldn't happen. He was absolutely convinced of that. So though he was totally unconscious of it, at the time of his birth with Esau, Esau comes out first. But as Esau comes out of his mother's womb, there's the hand of the next child grabbing a hold of the heel of Esau. He wanted to pull Esau back. He wanted to be first. He had to help God. That was an unconscious effort on his part that characterized him throughout. So when he's off with his care of the flock that his father had given him, way off away from the father's house, and Esau comes in from the hunt, and he's not been successful, and he's run out of his food, and he has nothing to eat, and he comes to Jacob's camp, and he says, Jacob, let me have something to eat. Jacob is so convinced he's got to help God that he says no to his starving brother. And he says, I need that birthright blessing. I will give you some of this pottage, but not until you vow and promise to trade this bowl of pottage for that birthright blessing. He willingly jumps at the opportunity when Rebecca overhears Isaac say to Esau, bring in some venison and I'll give you a blessing. So he repeatedly lies because he's got to get that blessing instead of Esau. He's got to deceive his blind father. taking on the clothing of Esau, using the venison that Esau was supposed to give in order to get the favor of his father. And for that, Esau was furious. Esau vowed a vow, quietly. Through the servants, it got to Rebekah. But the vow was, as soon as Isaac drops dead in his old age, I'm going to kill him. In fact, he said to Isaac, don't you have any blessing? Why, that rotten brother of mine is properly called Jacob, heel holder. That's what he's been doing all his life. When Esau made that vow and Rebekah knew it, they sent him away to Haran, to the north, to her brother Laban. Even there, Jacob's lives his name. When the deal is with Laban, I'll give you the sheep that are born that are streaked and straight. He's got to help God, he thinks. So he cuts some poplar limbs and hazelwood limbs, and he strips off the bark in stripes, and he lays that rod with those stripes, those white stripes in it, in the watering trough where the sheep are going to conceive. And he says, see, I'm going to find a way in order to get all kinds of riches and blessings. When God tells him to leave Laban, and he's assured of God's care, that's not enough. He's got to sneak away, steal away, take everything he can. When Laban can't find him for a long time, he's going to steal away. He's got to work to get the blessing of God. That was his attitude. But then he knew he would have to meet Esau. And so in chapter 32, he commanded his servants to go tell Esau. It was going to be inevitable. I'm going to meet him. I don't know what I'm going to face when I meet him, but I better let him know. So in chapter 32, verses 3 and 4, he sends messengers to him. And he says, this is how I want you to talk. Thy servant Jacob saith, I have sojourned with Laban, been there 20 years. I stayed there until now. I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servants and women servants. And I have sent to tell my Lord that I may find grace in thy sight. I am your servant. You are my Lord. So in the language of greatest humility, whether truly intended or not, is very difficult to know. He keeps repeatedly saying, I want to find grace in your sight, Laban. I want to find grace in your sight. The messengers come back. He's coming to meet you, and he's got 400 armed men with him. Verse 7 of chapter 32. Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And immediately that scheming mind takes into plans. I'll send first some gifts. I'll send one gift after another. I'll just flood him. Don't put them all together because then he won't appreciate how much he's been given. First one, and then a little bit later, another one, and then another one, and then another one. And all of them are to say, thy servant Jacob, my Lord Esau. I've got to win. I've got to earn his favor. It could be that he was absolutely convinced that if he didn't win it, he was going to lose. So with all of those presents, and then He also at that time divides his company into two groups. The Bible doesn't tell us what those two groups were. But later on in the text that we have before us in chapter 33, he even takes the second group, his family, and he divides them into four parts. The handmaidens, each one, Leah, then Rachel. Deliberately, because he says in verse 8 of chapter 32, if Esau come and he smite the first company, then the other company which is left shall escape. Scared. The night before he is to meet them, Esau, he can't sleep. And that's when he meets this stranger, who he finds out eventually is God, wrestles with him all night, and in the dawn, that stranger touches him in the thigh, and immediately he's lame. And then he's taught, I can't. And he hangs on to that stranger who is his God, and he will not let him go unless he bless him. He needed that assurance again. I need thy blessing. What is thy name? Jacob. No, it's not going to be Jacob anymore. You are a prince of God. You are Israel. Okay. We all know God's care. We all know His promised provision. We all have the assurance that the doors of heaven are going to be open for us whenever He wants to call us. And yet, look at Jacob. The news that there is Esau with 400 men, the news that things aren't going well in my home and in my family, my business might not be going quite right, all of these different things, maybe even the prospect of cancer, sets before us. And immediately, Jacob loses that high level of security and he falls down. And here comes Esau and he sees him coming. So what does Jacob do? He bows seven times. He wanted Esau to know those words that his mother said, God said, the elder is going to serve the younger. So the younger bows seven times to the older. And he makes it very, very clear to Esau that he has no intent now to claim the preeminence. He's willing to be very subordinate to Esau. He also wanted to express a desire to reconcile with someone who he had shamefully treated in the past. And Esau comes, and he runs, and he embraces him, and he kisses him, and they both weep. Now, what had just happened when he left Laban is that Laban came, and Laban himself says, don't you know that it's in my power to do you hurt? Then he tells Jacob, but while I was on my way to pursue after you, to do you hurt, the God of your father spake unto me yesternight, saying, Take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. God, your father, told me that. With the knowledge and the memory, the fresh memory, that God had appeared to Laban and said, you be careful what you do to Jacob. When Jacob now sees this attitude in Esau, the opposite of what he expected, he knew that that God who had spoken directly to Jacob had done a work in Esau, so that Esau would display something so different than the Esau he knew as a young man and as an adult, and had vowed, I'm going to kill him as soon as Dad dies. This change is something so that he says this in verse 10. When I realized that I had found grace in thy sight, and you, when I saw your face, then it was as if I saw the face of God. God changed you. You don't realize it. He didn't really say those words, but in his mind, that's the way he read that change in Esau. Esau was unconscious of God's work inside of him. But Jacob read that correctly. And that's when we have this exchange. That unexpectedly kind attitude of Esau, he reads as God's grace. Now, Esau gets all these gifts, one after another. And his response in verse 9 is, I have enough. I have enough. Jacob says the same thing in our text. I have enough. But the Hebrew records different words than the King James Version's translation. Esau is recorded as saying, I have much, or literally, there is to me much. And Esau had been materially given an abundance. He had two Hittite wives, and he had a daughter of Ishmael as his wife. The innumerable number of the dukes of Edom, his sons and grandsons, recorded in Genesis 32, shows that he had given, if Jacob had a large family, Esau had a greater large family, much larger. He also had the land of Mount Seir. And everything that Esau begged his father to give him. Give me a blessing. Isn't there anything left? Isaac had answered, no, there's nothing left. I gave it all in blessing to Jacob. Yet, in those 20 years that intervened, Esau had built a little kingdom. Land, flocks, herds in great abundance. Chapter 36, verses 6 and 7 tells us how much prosperity he had materially in cattle, which is really dollars and cents in our minds, in our eyes. He had a household large enough to be able to have a trained army of 400 men. I have much. Now, Esau did not see that as God's blessing. That was not his focus. But he was only interested in the fatness of the earth. And he said to, I don't need all these little gifts. I've got much. I've got enough. Now when Jacob says the same, In the Hebrew, it's different. Because Jacob says, to me is given all. To me is given everything. But notice what he says just before he says that in verse 11. God has dealt graciously with me. What he learned in wrestling all night with God was this. I grabbed the heel of my brother, and all of my life I have been trying to aid God in his blessing. I even did that witchcraft thing with the sheep. I thought I had to help God. But God has dealt with me graciously. He has given to me an undeserved love. What I deserve for all of my attempts to help him is to be punished. He's not punished me. He's persisted to give me his undeserved love. And that gift of his undeserved love is also in this lame thigh that I have right now. So I walk with a limp and will walk with it all the rest of my life. But I have, because of God's gracious dealing and his attitude of undeserved love, I have everything. I am now able to say what I by nature call good and what I by nature call bad, I thank God for it all. I now see the grace of God, his attitude of undeserved love, is given to me every second and every millisecond of my life. When things don't go the way I would want them, I'm still receiving undeserved grace. So that in my prosperity and in my adversity, in my health and in my sickness, when things look to be good and when things look to be horrible from a human perspective, I now have the vision, the sight, the perspective to realize that all work to conform me to the image of God's Son. I have enough. To be able to say, even if you have a dirt floor in your sod house and you have no money in the bank, and you have a little bit of oil and a little bit of flour, and that's it. You can say, receiving what I don't deserve from my Heavenly Father, I have enough. And even if we're dying, I have enough. I have all things. Because God made this promise, Romans 8:32, that if he gave me the greater, he'll give me the lesser. If he gave me his, and spared not his own Son to deliver me from all of my sinful efforts, then he will also with him freely give me all things. So I know, I might not always feel it, but I know all things are good. I also know this, that knowledge I'm going to lose when I'm not looking up at His grace. And when I'm not returning, because when I look up and I see His love, then I am one of those who love Him. And we know to them who love Him, because He loved us first, in the way of that knowledge and returning love, He knew. Then He was able to take everything, everything that God had given, every forkful, and say, this is to be used in His service. I am to interpret it as a prophet in the light of His word. As a priest, I am to dedicate it to His service. What a beautiful attitude. Someone told me about a sign on a church in Jenison. They couldn't tell me the exact words, but the idea was this. If you have an attitude of gratitude, then everything is enough. I have all things. Because I have the love that I don't deserve, and it's given to me in everything. One last thought. He says that. He means it, just like we do. Then you know what Jacob did? And he's Jacob again. Esau says, oh, this is so nice, brother. Let's go together to Mount Seir. And Jacob reverts to his old nature. Well, I got these tender kids and these tender little animals. And if we go as fast as your horses, then I'm going to kill them. Oh, they're going to all die. Listen to the exaggeration. Sheesh. And then he says something that you really wonder if he really meant it. And I'll come and visit you in Mount Seir. And he never did. There he goes again. So we get out of here, and now tonight, when you get on your knees or you lay on your bed and you pray and you remember, I have enough. And then you think back, what happened from the morning sermon until you go to bed tonight? We're going to slip. We're going to fall. We're going to revert to our old natures. We're going to forget them. We're not going to appreciate. We're going to do some complaining. We might even do some coveting as we go through all the ads. I don't have enough. Beloved, we have enough. We have something we never deserve. Thank Him. Amen. Our Father, we do thank Thee. Because that grace is going to keep forgiving us. It has, it is, and it will. And that's why we, when we think about it, love Thee so much. And we thank Thee so much. So now give us Thy blessing as we continue today and the rest of our lives. And may we truly say with Jacob, not with Esau, but with Jacob, I have enough. I have all things working for my salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.